This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Tuesday, the second day of April 2024. How are you today? Good to have you with us. This is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. on X, Facebook, and Rumble. And the audio podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Good to have you with us. Oh gosh, got a good morning going on here today. Stayed up entirely too late last night talking to Chris Honholtz. I bet we were chatting for, I was a guest on Voice of Reason Radio last night. We were talking about what is the church, how to find a good church, some problems with the church. It was kind of a, we departed from our notes and outlines very early and just kind of went where we went. But that's up at Voice of Reason Radio. You can check that out. But after we got done recording, I think we talked for probably another 90 minutes. It was about 10:30 when I went to bed last night. I was pretty tired. And so, you know, a short night, long conversation. We just haven't, Chris and I haven't had a chance to just chat in a long time. So we were talking about some things going on and whatnot. It was a good conversation, but the conversation that we recorded for the podcast was good. That's been up since the evening last night. And so I encourage you to check that out. Excuse me. A little bit of a frog in my throat. So what do we got coming up today? We have scripture readings from the Legacy Standard Bible. We have prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. And our study Bible level Bible study resumes. We are back in Deuteronomy. We are in Deuteronomy 32 today. We're going to start looking at the Song of Moses. That will be very worthwhile and hopefully enjoyable to all of us. All right, let's begin, as is our practice, with the prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. All right. Our scripture reading today is Exodus 19 and Psalm 69. Exodus 19 and Psalm 69. Exodus 19. In the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on this day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. Then they set out from Rephidim and came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped in front of the mountain. Now Moses went up to God, and Yahweh called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I lifted you up on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So now then, if you will indeed listen to my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which Yahweh had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that Yahweh has spoken we will do. And Moses brought back the words of the people to Yahweh. Yahweh said to Moses, Behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe in you forever. Then Moses told the words of the people to Yahweh. Yahweh also said to Moses, Go to the people, and set them apart as holy today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day Yahweh will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, Beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or surely shot through, whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and set the people apart as holy. And they washed their garments. And he said to the people, Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. So it happened on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning flashes, and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke, because Yahweh descended upon it in fire. And its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. And Yahweh came down on Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. And Yahweh called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, Go down, warn the people, lest they break through to Yahweh to see, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to Yahweh set themselves apart as holy, lest Yahweh break out against them. And Moses said to Yahweh, The people cannot come up on Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, Set bounds about the mountain, and set it apart as holy. Then Yahweh said to him, Go down and come up again, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the other people break through to come up to Yahweh, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. And now, Psalm 69. The 69th Psalm for the choir director. According to Shoshanim of David. Save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I have sunk in deep clay, and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and a flood overflows me. I am weary with calling out. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. What I did not steal, I then have to restore. O God, it is you who knows me fully. O God, it is you who knows my folly. and all my guilt is not hidden from you. May those who hope for you not be ashamed through me, O Lord Yahweh of hosts. May those who seek you not be dishonored through me, O God of Israel. Because for your sake I have borne reproach. Dishonor has covered my face. I have become estranged from my brothers and a foreigner to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept in my soul with fasting, I became a reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. Those who dwell at the gate moan about me, and I am the drunkard's song. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Yahweh, at an acceptable time. O God, in the abundance of your loving kindness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Deliver me from the mire, and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and from the deep waters. May the flood waters not overflow me, nor the deep swallow me up, nor the pit shut its mouth on me. Answer me, O Yahweh, for your loving kindness is good. According to the abundance of your compassion, turn to me, and do not hide your face from your slave, for I am in distress. Answer me quickly. O, draw near to my soul and redeem it. Ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. All my adversaries are before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am so sick. And I hoped for sympathy, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. May their table before them become a snare, and when they are in peace, may it become a trap. May their eyes darken so that they cannot see, and make their loins quake continually. Pour out your indignation on them, and may your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be desolate, may none dwell in their tents. For they have persecuted him who you yourself have struck down, and they recount the pain of those you have wounded. An iniquity for their iniquity, and may they add iniquity to their iniquity, and may they not come into your righteousness. Excuse me. May they be blotted out of the book of life, and may they not be recorded with the righteous. But I am afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. And this will please Yahweh better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hooves. The humble see it and are glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive. For Yahweh hears the needy and does not despise his who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. The seed of his slaves will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell in it. This is the word of the Lord. And now our reading from Daily Readings for the Life of Christ by John MacArthur. Today's devotional is entitled, True Commitment. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. Matthew 8:21-22. Dr. MacArthur writes, like the scribe, this second man disappears from the record after approaching Jesus. Evidently, the Lord's discipleship demands were too strict, and the appeal of discipleship vanished. Matthew 19:16-22. Christ's instruction to follow him simply means, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. The Lord Jesus always made it clear that commitment must be complete or not at all. Consider this. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:34-38. This is not speaking of Christian service, but of salvation. God won't save anyone who comes to him with strings attached. People have long admired Christ for his authority, moral teaching and ethical standards, love and healing, even his deity. But in spite of all that, they have failed to submit themselves to him. J.C. Ryle has written, "The saddest road to hell is the one that runs under the pulpit, past the Bible, and through the middle of warnings and invitations." Ask yourself, how have you suffered rejection and disdain for your Christian faith? What would still be lacking in your life if you had the acceptance of others but not the acceptance of Christ? All right. Well, after a week of Holy Week readings and devotional thoughts, we are back on our regular schedule. So we are back in our study Bible level Bible study of Deuteronomy. And we are looking at Deuteronomy 32 today. This is the Song of Moses. And I'm going to read all of it. And then we will go back and start to look at it. It is rather long. It goes all the way to verse 44, 45. It goes to sticky pages. Sticky pages. Come on, there we go. Goes to verse 43. So most of the chapter is taken up by this song, this psalm that was written by Moses. It's not in the book of Psalms, it's in the book of Deuteronomy, but this is every bit an inspired song as any of the psalms are. We're going to begin in chapter 31, verse 30. Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel, and the words spoke, excuse me, suddenly have a frog in my throat. Sip of coffee and we will begin again. Okay, here we go. This is Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 30. Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song, until they were complete. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let what I have learned drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass, and as the showers on the herb. For I proclaim the name of Yahweh. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. They have acted corruptly toward him. They are not his children because of their defect, but are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus repay Yahweh, O people who are wickedly foolish and without wisdom? Is not he your father who has bought you? He has made you and established you. Remember the ancient days. Consider the years from generation to generation. Ask your father, and he will declare to you, your elders, and they will speak to you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man and set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel, for Yahweh's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He guarded him as the pupil of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young. He spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. Yahweh alone guided him, and there was no foreign god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the produce of the field. And he made him suck honey from the rock, and oil from the flinty rock. curds of cows and milk of the flock with fat of lambs and rams, the breed of Bashan and goats, with the finest of the wheat and with the blood of grapes you drank wine. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, thick, and sleek. Then he abandoned God who made him and treated the rock of his salvation with wicked foolishness. They made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. You neglected the rock who begot you, and forgot the God who brought you forth. And Yahweh saw this and spurned them, because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. Then he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a wickedly foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and it burns to the lowest part of Sheol. And it consumes the earth with its produce, and it sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap calamities on them. I will exhaust my arrows on them. They will be wasted by famine and consumed by plague and bitter destruction, and the teeth of beasts I will send upon them, with the venom of crawling things of the dust. Outside the sword will bereave, inside terror, both choice man and virgin, the nursing baby and the man with gray hair. I would have said, I will cut them to pieces. I will cause the memory of them to cease from men, had I not feared the provocation of the enemy, lest their adversaries misjudge, lest they say, our hand is triumphant, and Yahweh has not done all this. For they are a nation where counsel perishes, and there is no discernment in them. Would that they were wise, that they had insight into this, that they would understand their future. How could one pursue 1,000 and put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock had sold them and Yahweh had handed them over? Indeed, their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this. For their vine is from the vine of Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of poison, their clusters bitter. Their wine is the venom of serpents and the deadly poison of cobras. It is not laid up in store with me, sealed in my treasuries? Vengeance is mine and retribution. In due time their foot will stumble, for the day of their disaster is near, and the impending things are hastening upon them. For Yahweh will render justice to his people, and will have compassion on his slaves. When he sees that their strength is gone, and there is none remaining, bond or free, and he will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they have sought refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your hiding place. See now that I am he, and there is no god beside me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand. Indeed, I lift up my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, if I sharpen my flashing sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will render vengeance on my adversaries, and I will repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword will devour flesh. With the blood of the slain and the captives, from the long-haired leaders of the enemies, O nations, cause his people to shout for joy, for he will avenge the blood of his slaves and will render vengeance on his adversaries, and he will atone for his people, his land, and his people. Quite the song. As you can tell, not the most uplifting and joyous of songs. It's full of despair and judgment and bloodshed and the wrath of God and vengeance. This is a message given to Israel by Moses. It is a message of truth. It's a message of prophecy, but it's also a message that concerns all of creation. That's why it starts out with, "Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth." So this was for all of the earth, even though it was given to Israel specifically. It contains judgment against Israel, and it also contains judgment against the world. So this is instruction and prophecy in the form of a song. We've talked about music before, and one of the things about songs is they are easier to remember than just trying to recite a passage of scripture. A song will stick in your mind. I've talked about the fact that for, 40 years ago, I was in high school, and a song will come on the radio I haven't heard from years, and I will remember the lyrics. And I'm a person with a bad memory. Absolutely have a hard time remembering names, putting things together, and even names of friends. It's like, what is his name? I know who it is. I can picture him in my mind, and I can't remember his name. But I can remember song lyrics from 40 years ago. Songs are good for that. It's something about the way the brain is wired by God. We remember songs and music. And I think this is one of the reasons why we need to be every bit as careful with the music our churches sing as we are with the sermon. It is every bit as important what music we sing, the message of the music, because those songs will stick with us. And so that's important. So that's why this is given in a song. Now, it's full of praise. There's praise to the greatness of God. And so there's a command to praise God. He says, I proclaim, this is verse 3, I proclaim the name of Yahweh. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Great words of praise that echo down through the ages as we think about who God is and what God has done. But then in verse 5, it immediately turns and is contrasting the people of Israel with God. God is perfect. God is great. God is faithful. God is just. Righteous and upright is he. And then turns to Israel. They have acted corruptly toward him. They are not his children because of their defect, but are a perverse and crooked generation. Now, he's not saying they're not God's children. He's saying they're not God's children because of who they are. They're God's children because of who God is. This is an unbelieving generation. And Israel, like all people, those who truly believe God are in the minority. This is one of those things that I think we have failed to grasp and failed to really take to heart. And I know I've mentioned it before, but Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are who find it. Christianity, godliness, predating the incarnation of Jesus Christ, back to the calling of Abraham, godliness and true followers of God have always been in the minority. Always. Israel was never a godly nation. They weren't. You know, we know that this whole generation that witnessed the Exodus, with very few exceptions, this entire generation died in the wilderness and was not allowed to enter into the promised land. And the writer to the Hebrews says they died in unbelief. We've talked about this throughout our going through Deuteronomy. And here in this song, Moses is saying that this next generation that is going to be entering the promised land after the previous generation has died off, they are corrupt. They are defected. They are a perverse and crooked generation. So even though they entered into the promised land and were engaged in the conquest, they too were a wicked and perverse generation. So this is, you know, the godly have always been in the minority. And so we live in a dark world that is in rebellion against God. And it's a more open rebellion than it has been in quite a long time, as we read the news and see what's going on out there. But it is a rebellion against God that has always existed. As I said, it's more out in the open now than it was a generation ago, even just a few years ago. I just think how much our nation has changed in the last 10 years, just in ways I never expected. And not just my nation, but all of Western civilization is crumbling faster than I ever thought I'd see it, to the point where I have very little hope for Western civilization apart from God. This is not going to be a people who exist without the judgment of God falling upon them. So, you know, verse 6, do you thus repay Yahweh, O people who are wickedly foolish and without wisdom? Is not he your father who has bought you? He has made you and established you. So he's reminding them that, you know, it was God who created the nation of Israel and brought them out of Egypt. And he has blessed them. And yet they forget. Is this the way you repay God? By your disobedience and your arrogance and your rebellion? And in verse 7, he says, remember the ancient days. Consider the years from generation to generation. Ask your father and he will declare to you, your elders and they will speak to you. So we have here, again, this call to remember to the next generation. I was in a discussion very recently on the liturgical calendar. And a person was decrying the liturgical calendar as Roman Catholic. And I made the comment that it greatly predates the development of Roman Catholicism. And he was like, well, this, you know, show it to me in the Bible. And there isn't a liturgical calendar in the Bible. There, Israel had one. Israel had the feasts that God had given to Israel. But there isn't an echo of that for the church. There's no command to celebrate Christmas and remember the incarnation. There's no instruction even to, you know, celebrate Easter and remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in that sort of annual observance. I mentioned yesterday, we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. That's why we meet on the first day of the week. And that is a tradition that developed very, very early. But there is no commandment in the New Testament telling the church when it ought to meet. There is instruction not to neglect the meeting. And there is instructions of things to do when you come together. But there is not, you're going to meet on the first day of the week. That instruction doesn't exist in the scriptures. But again, it developed very, very early. So we have a weekly liturgical calendar. You know, liturgy is simply an order of worship. We have a weekly liturgical calendar in that we meet on the first day of the week to worship our risen God. And then we look at, you know, we said we had, you know, Lent just ended, and then we celebrated Easter. Now we're looking forward to Pentecost. That's the next thing. You know, so some of these, a lot of the church's liturgical calendar is taken from the Jewish calendar in a way, and is also held up as a remembrance of what happened in church history, in early church history. So Pentecost is the day the church began, when the Lord poured out his Spirit upon the church, and Christ was first preached in Jerusalem, and the risen Christ was preached, and repentance was called for, and 3,000 people joined the church that day. That's the birth of the church. And so we see, you know, we celebrate that every year. And I think this is a lot of it. You know, there is not a liturgical calendar, but we know that the Old Testament was written as examples to us. And if the Old Testament was written as examples to us, we need to look at what their practice was, not just what they did, because a lot of what they did wasn't biblical, but what God told them to do. And so when we look here, remember the ancient days. Remember the things that happened before, you know, even long ago. Remember the ancient days. Consider the years from generation to generation. Ask your father, and he will declare to you, your elders, and they will speak to you. They will speak to you of when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the sons of Israel. For Yahweh's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. He found him in the desert land and in the howling wastes of a wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He guarded him as the pupil of his eye. So Moses is telling Israel to remember what God has done for you. And we remember other instances in Joshua when they finally cross the Jordan into the promised land. God tells Joshua to have the leaders of the tribes select a stone from the middle of the river, which he has dried up so they could cross on dry land. And to select a stone from the middle of the river and make a pillar where they crossed, so that as generations go by, when a man and his son are walking and they see that pillar and the son says, "Hey, what is that?" The father can then explain what God has done for Israel. So in the same way, that's the purpose of the liturgical calendar. So that, you know, why do we celebrate Easter, Daddy? Why do we celebrate Christmas, Daddy? Why do we celebrate Pentecost, Daddy? This gives us an opportunity to, you know, why do we go to church on Sunday, Daddy? These are the natural instructive times that God has built into our very existence. And it's this sort of thing that he told Israel to do. And it's this sort of thing that we are to do as well in the raising of our children and in the teaching of our children. And so having a liturgical calendar is not a bad thing. And as I said in that conversation, it long predates the development of Roman Catholicism. So don't ever, you know, it's not a biblical commandment. There is a purpose, and there is a biblical purpose in having some sort of regular observance of key events in redemptive history so that we can remember and instruct and teach. He continues here talking about what God has done for Israel. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, God spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. Yahweh alone guided him. Him is Jacob, Israel. Yahweh alone guided him, and there was no foreign God with him. God and God alone. God made Israel ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the produce of the field, and he made him suck honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock. God provided food for Israel. God sustained Israel in the desert. We've looked at the manna and all of that that God provided, the water from the rock. Everything that God provided for Israel, everything they needed to live in the desert, he provided. Curds of cows and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs and rams, the breed of Bashan, and goats, with the finest of the wheat, and with the blood of grapes you drank wine. All the produce of the earth is provided by God for the sustenance of humanity. And he's saying here specifically to Israel, God fed you and God sustained you. Tomorrow we'll pick up in verse 15 because now it's turning the corner and he's going to talk about Israel's rebellion against the God who made them. So good to be back in the Word with you this morning as we continue our study Bible level Bible study. And I scroll through all these notes that I have and get down to the Apostles' Creed. Let us now recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the Collect for Tuesday of Easter week, which is today. O God, who by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, O God, who by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light, grant that we who have been raised up with him may abide in his presence and rejoice in the hope of eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Defend us by your mighty power that we may not fall into sin nor run into any danger, and that guided by your Spirit we may do what is righteous in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And for the unrepentant we pray. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for this Tuesday, the second day of April 2024. I wish you the very best of days. As you go through the day, remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter.
Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.